go out to them.
Councillor, staff and members of the public have been advised that this meeting was recorded for on-demand audio download via Moree Plain Shire Council's website, and a person's voice was recorded and broadcast via this means. In certain circumstances, this meeting may have been live-streamed for viewing, and a person's image and voice would be recorded and broadcast via this means. Any person who attended this meeting is deemed to have consented to their image and or voice being webcast. All speakers at the meeting have been advised that they should refrain from making any defamatory comments or releasing any personal information about other individuals without their consent. Council accepts no liability for any damage that may result from defamatory comments made by any person who attended this meeting. All liability will rest with the individual who made the comments. This meeting was not recorded by others unless the prior written consent of Council, in accordance with Council's Code of Meeting Practice, was obtained, as noted in these minutes. Any part of this meeting that was held in a closed session will not be recorded or accessible to members of the public. Please be advised that an audio recording of all Council and committee meetings is taken and placed on Council's website within 7 days of the meeting. Recordings will be available to any member of the public to access for a period of 12 months, at which point they will be destroyed. Webcasting of Council and committee meetings by way of audio recording is required to meet Council's obligations under the Local Government General Regulations 2005. No one is able to request alterations to the content of any recording. You should consult Council's policy on webcasting of Council and committee meetings for further information on this matter, or alternatively, refer to the signage displayed here. Emergency response and general housekeeping. In the event of an emergency, the only emergency exit for this floor is through the double doors at the back of the committee room. The staircase from the restaurant to Baylow Street is the only exit out of the building once through these doors. The Mac Centre Assembly Point is at the corner of Heber and Frome Streets in front of the Art Gallery, unless notified differently from the building chief or acting chief warden. There is a first aid kit located in the chambers and small basic first aid kits in each of the emergency response bags located in both rooms. If you use or take anything out of any of these kits outside of an evacuation, please notify your designated emergency warden as soon as possible. All doors and walkways are to be kept clear of any obstructions at all times. If the floor loses power, the emergency exit lights will be illuminated.
Moree Plain Shire Council would like to acknowledge the Gumeroi people that are the traditional owners of this land. Council would also like to pay our respects to the elders, both past, present and also emerging, and extend that respect to any other Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander who may be present here today. Let us pray for the health, well-being and security of our Shire. Let us pray for the health, well-being and respect of the traditional owners of our land, past, present and of the future. Let us pray for the health, well-being and safety of our emergency and essential service providers. Let us pray for the health, well-being and wisdom of our medical and education providers. Let us pray for the health and well-being and give thanks to our families that support us in making honest and strong decisions for the benefit of all in our communities. Amen. Welcome, councillors, to our extraordinary meeting of Thursday the 3rd of November 2022. We have an apology from Councillor Montgomery. Would someone like to move that be accepted? Councillor Pearce, seconded. Councillor Harton, all in favour? Thank you. We also have a leave of absence from Councillor Corcoran. Would someone like to move that be? Councillor Sawyer, Councillor Smith, all in favour? Any leave of absence requests, councillors?
For the rest of the month,
November. Yep. Councillor Smith.
Mr. Mann.
Yes, Councillor Orchin.
I have the council meeting in December that I'll be unable to attend. Please.
Thank you.
The water should be gone by then, Councillor Orchin.
I'm hoping so, Councillor Smith.
We also have Councillor Orchin joining us. Sorry, would someone like to move those leave of absence requests be accepted? Councillor Pearce, seconded. Councillor Sawyer, all in favour. Thank you. We have Councillor Orchin at this stage joining us by audio-visual. Can I get someone to approve, move that they approve? Councillor Harton, seconded. Councillor Sawyer, all in favour. We have no late reports.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, may I make a request to attend by audio visual link at the next council meeting, the 17th?
Yes, Ken?
The 17th?
Just do it the next one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, the adoption of the minutes of the 15th of September 2022, our ordinary council meeting. Would someone like to move that they be accepted? Councillor Harton, seconded. Help me out here, people.
I wasn't here, so.
Councillor Orchin, thank you. All in favour. Any declarations of interest, councillors? None. No items by exception. Okay, we'll move straight on to report number one, which is our annual financial, general purpose financial report for the year ended 30 June 2022. And I'll hand over to Mr. Brabbitt.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. What we have is our, as mentioned, our draft financial statements for the 2022 financial year. This report primarily is procedural, but required by the Act for Council to resolve the statements to be referred to audit. Obviously the original intent was this report was to go to the last council meeting, deferred as we know. The audit has commenced and it's not been finalised as of yet. Yesterday afternoon I did send round the latest version of the statements. Also included as part of that during the audit visit, the discussions with council's auditors Forsyths. They did recommend that we apply for an extension to the due date for our statements, primarily due to the audit office and the struggles that they are having doing turnaround for audits. We met our deadlines from a council preparation point of view. They wanted to cover off on the chance that due to some of the, I suppose, additional complexities in this year's audit, that we put in the application. Obviously that turned out to be advantageous for council, with the auditors still not finished. Council's auditors are expected to finalise this week to send the file down to the audit office. However, what we've seen in the past is with the extension being granted till the end of November, the audit office will generally use.
Sorry, can I request that you speak into the microphone, Councillor Orchin?
Get much closer. With the extension granted through to the end of November, we expect the audit office probably to use most of that time. It is a requirement that we have this resolution before we finalise the audit, hence the request for the meeting today. Also, as obviously as part of that, we do mention the fact that we will be booking in a time to present the statements to council and to the public in detail, which is where the auditors are present. At this point in time, obviously based on the unknown finalisation of the audit, we'll look at the December council meeting. We were hoping to have it done by this month, but it's looking more and more unlikely. As I suppose, happy to take any questions that councillors have today on the statements. Either can take it on notice, or we can answer them today, or we can cover off on that in the presentation in December for any additional information that council wishes us to discuss. Again, as detailed in the email that was sent out yesterday, a couple of changes, I suppose, from the original version that was sent out in the October business paper. About $160,000 change to the bottom line, resulting in close to $5.2 million loss overall. And some movements within the employee benefits or salaries and on-cost area. That's the other thing. Again, those ones not impacting the bottom line. So happy to do a very quick overview if that's what council want, or to take any specific questions. Happy to be guided.
Yeah, perhaps just a snapshot.
Yep.
Andrew, and then we've got questions after that, if that's yep. Okay.
So a very quick snapshot. If we're looking at the income statement in the statements, which is page 6. This is council's operating result for the year. Looking at the 2022 figures, you see the $75-76 million worth of income and $70 million worth of expense. giving us a surplus before capital income of $5.5 million. However, excluding capital income, we are looking at a loss of 5.16, close to 5.2 million. Obviously, you know, on its face, that's a little concerning. That's our second year of running a deficit before capital income. As council will remember, last year was primarily attributable to timing of revenue for flood damage. This year there are, I suppose, multiple, hopefully one-off factors which has contributed to that, which was summarised at a high level in the report attached to this meeting. There was roughly $1 million in devaluation of our gateway asset.
Can I just get you to stop on each one?
Yep.
So council are understanding of that. This was when we had external valuation of the gateway. Our carrying value was $1 million less than what we were showing, $1 million more on what we were showing what the valuation is. So we had to write that back down, and I confirmed this with Andrew this morning. So Mr. Probert, sorry, that $1 million is sitting in other expenses.
Other expenses, yes. So again, all things being equal, that's a one-off expense, assuming, of course, valuations are consistent going forward. There was the close to $900,000, again, movement because of revaluation of what we call remediation assets. So that's the requirement for council to remediate landfills and gravel pits. We do create that provision and make sure every year we recalculate what the cost of each of those will be to remediate when the pit or the landfill has finished its useful life. So there was a significant movement in that for last year.
And Mr. Probert, is that a reflection of how much we've taken out of it, or that our base valuation was incorrect?
In excellent reflection of the estimated cost to remediate.
Right.
Has changed.
Sure.
Some of that's dependent on, you know, projected CPI figures, and we know that obviously the last 12 months or so that's been, you know, somewhat different than it had been previously, and it does depend on the useful life of each individual asset as well.
And again, that one-off is sitting in other expenses.
Yeah. One of the other major ones, flood damage, again, not as significant as it was last year. Roughly $500,000 worth of expenditure that we have not yet received payment for. So we're closing that gap. We'll see this year in particular, I would suggest a little bit more of a catch-up in that regard as they're on to more of the physical works. Of course, that was prior to the last 2 weeks. Those types of claims will change again, I'm sure.
Is there ever a discussion that we carry that as an asset?
Yeah, when the accounting standards changed a couple of years ago for how we recognise revenue, they're a lot stricter, let's say, in what we can and can't, when we can and can't recognise revenue. Primarily, the issue being that we haven't necessarily, for that $500,000, it's when we've started the physical works, past the emergency works and the immediate restoration works, and we haven't received the documentation from Resilience saying that, this is the approved amount. I think the last figure, I think it was 29 roads or 31 roads that have been approved up until that stage. They're still finalising the rest of the claims. So we are confident, of course, we will get that money. It's just purely timing. The other big one is depreciation. There was a significant increase in depreciation from year to year. That is something that we need to look at carefully through this year's budget process. There's some significant concerns with further increases that will come in over the next 12 months. So we're going to have to do some reviews there. Again, as discussed around this table briefly in the past, from an external valuation of assets, we were scheduled to do, over the last 2 years, water, sewer, land buildings and other structures. Those have been deferred, primarily due to staffing issues within the asset management section. So we are hoping to get those completed this year, as well as potentially doing a external valuation on our road assets. Now that's going to place some potential significant impacts on how we book depreciation, how we recognise depreciation. So it's something we need to review during the year as those events happen. The other major thing to point out with assets when it comes to statements is there were significant revaluations from a dollars point of view booked through the assets this year. And I'll just find the page number.
7.
So, generally speaking, when it comes to asset valuations, auditors are comfortable if that's covered off when you do external valuations, roughly every 4 to 5 years. This year, however, because of the... Page 43 in the statements. However, this year, because, again, of the significant increases in CPI and construction costs, the auditors were concerned, the audit office was concerned that we'd leave movements in valuations for that long. So we performed the internal exercise rather than external exercise to do some preliminary revals, which have been booked, and that totaled, you know, $45 million worth of increase in valuations. On that page, we're looking at the fourth column from the right, shows the movements in valuations. Now that as well, of course, will potentially increase depreciation significantly for this financial year. You can see there it was at $19 million. So half of that increase almost was in the roads area. So we know with the discussions about potentially changes to levels of service when it comes to our road network, that will all get, you know, wrapped up in those discussions, how we recognise those assets and how we depreciate them. So just, I suppose, a little bit of forewarning. There's going to have to be quite a bit of discussion around that over the next 6 months.
It's weird that, I mean, you look at the it's a ridiculous system where we come up with a $5 million operating loss, but $17 million worth of depreciation we have to cash back. We've just been through 4 years of state and federal government piling money on us to build more garbage. We get another great list of it today. This is the killer. That's the stuff that needs to go out to the public, or we need to change this accounting system. You look at our books compared to Wyong, you rub a zero of Wyong and it's us. And that Wyong are under administration with a 15% rate rise. My sister lives down there. He's going to bust us building more and more stuff. And the community need it explained to them.
I agree. The asset management has to be a focus of council. It's the thing that impacts what we can and can't do the most.
Mm.
We are different, I suppose, from some of those councils in administration where our other areas, you know, of our statements or our financial management is strong. We still do have strong levels of cash. You know, we still do have strong levels of unrestricted cash as it currently stands. A lot of our other ratios are quite strong as well. So we're not in an administrator.
Yeah, not in
area.
That territory yet, but you look at the
we do have
high level numbers and it's
we do have to spend some time and if nothing else, locking down some levels of service for asset management so we can build a budget.
What do you actually mean by that?
Well, you know, just from a very basic point of view, how often do you resheet a road or how often do you reseal a road or how many times do you know, mow a park, you know, those types of things, you know. The best way to develop a budget is setting those levels of service.
Yeah.
We can then turn around and go, all right, it cost us X amount of dollars to mow a park. If you want to spend this much money, this is how many mows you'd get a year.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, we need to resheet every 8 years, or we let it go and resheet every 12, or we bring it forward and resheet every 5. And, of course, those types of discussions depends on what the road is. So you need to get into more detail about which roads get the 5-year resheet, which ones get the 12, how often you grade a road, all those types of conversation. So, you know, the very basic view is to come down to a unit rate per job, tell us how often you would like that job done, you develop your budget accordingly.
Sure.
So, but yes, depreciation is you know, if we're dealing with $17 million worth of depreciation, our asset purchases or capitalisation for last year, again, on that same page we're looking at, was 16 million dollars for, or $18 million, if my eyesight's any good, for asset renewals. So very broadly, that's what we're looking at, that we're renewing assets dollar-wise roughly the same as our depreciation. But more to what Councillor Smith said, we've got $5.3 million in new assets, which of course then generates that problem of having to maintain them, having to book the depreciation. So,
in addition to the $45 million that we've just revalued as well, which is going to add to that depreciation.
Correct.
Councillor Smith.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just further to your point, Mr. Probit, about in an ideal world, we should be building the budget around our level of our proposed level of service. Is that how we're going to be doing it this next financial year? Because that's how I'd like us to be doing it this financial year.
It is
it's coming financial.
What finance will be recommending we do, yes?
Yeah, I'd say that's how we need to be proceeding.
Yeah, no doubt. The budget process historically has been focused on projects, which is, yeah, fine for what it is, but we know how much money we do spend on recurrent, and that's where most of the level of service discussion should take place.
Councillor Smith.
Andrew, what would be the effect? We would do a full redevelopment on the MAC. We'll have reclaimed depreciation on what is redeveloped, but then we're going to get smacked.
Well, this year we did more of an impairment on the MAC asset than we had in the past, obviously reduced the value. But yes, obviously once we put in a $10 million, $12 million worth of new assets, or whatever the final figure will be, that will of course increase depreciation again.
What rates are depreciated at those sort of fixed assets?
Well, at
25 probably years. Normally 25 years, but Council didn't foresee the other one lasting seven.
You'd hope it would last longer than seven. And it does depend on the asset type, of course. You know, the pool itself, hopefully it had more than seven. Buildings, of course, are, you know, close to 100 years. Equipment floats around 7 or 8 years, depending on what it is. So it does depend on which asset it is. So they all have different depreciation rates.
Whatever its useful life is.
Yeah. Yep.
So it could potentially be up 600,000-700,000.
Yeah, depending on what the assessment is, how long it's meant to last.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to think it might come in a little less than that, but
So the impairment, when did you impair in 21 on that MAC when it was dug out?
We did some, when the 50 metre pool was dug out, we wrote that off.
Yeah.
That asset's been written off.
Yeah.
We put impairment through last year for the hot pools and some of the other assets.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Did you have a query, Councillor Swear?
No, sorry.
Sorry, Andrew.
Happy for any other questions, but I suppose the only other thing to cover off on briefly, we talked about restricted funds or cash. We're comfortable that from that point of view, ratios are the other things that generally garner some discussion.
Would you like to talk to us?
So again, ratios, as we know, can be.
Where are we?
Page number.
Sorry. 87, is it? What I'm looking at. That's where the graphs are.
Yep. 84 they start on. Ratios can be used for good and evil, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. But very quickly, our operating performance ratio, in essence, is just a snapshot of our result. So if we make a profit, it's a positive. Make a loss, it's a negative. Again, we can see the benchmark there is anything, it's a positive. So anything that's not a loss, and as we talked about the last 2 years, we have not achieved that. Our own source operating revenue, now this is in essence a way in which we can look at how much we are dependent on external sources of funding, i.e. grants, as opposed to rates and user charges. It's an interesting ratio, this one, because it's so easily skewed. You know, we have a year like last year and a year like this year where we do get significant amounts of grant funding, flood damage and the like. That ratio drops below the benchmark. But again, we know that that is not a financial concern because we can still do normal operations even if those grants were to disappear. Having said that, we're still close to the benchmark of 60%.
Yeah.
Now, unrestricted current ratio is looking at, in essence, council's current assets compared to its current liabilities. So again, you can see from that point of view we're, I suppose, extremely healthy. You know, we do have low levels of liabilities compared to our assets. You know, benchmark of 1.5, and we consistently, last couple of years at least, around 3.7. So that's usually a good sign of financial health.
With that, like current assets versus current liabilities, current assets being your cash
and receivables.
Cash and receivables over just what you owe. But their problem is a lot of what we owe is on 30-year terms and 20-year terms.
Correct. Yeah. So that drops down to non-current, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's rose-coloured glasses a bit stuck there.
It's an indication of short-term health.
Yeah, so you're going to get to... Yeah. You're going to be able to pay your bills over the next 12 months with your cash, basically.
We can do that, but that carrying that debt that's been spread out for such a long period is a worry.
Yeah, then we have the debt service cover ratio again. Talking this morning, there used to be a ratio called the debt service ratio, which I believe is probably a little bit more relevant than this one. Basically, that one talks about, you know, your... loan repayments over total income. And we've always talked about 10% for that ratio is probably the maximum. And we are close to that overall. I think it's a little bit more realistic than these figures, which indicates we're a lot stronger when it comes to debt service than this one does. But again, as discussed around this table before, we're probably, with the proposed borrowings over the next couple of years, we would be at our limit, I would suggest. We shouldn't be looking at any more extensive borrowings than we already have budgeted for. Rates and annual charges outstanding, again, relatively strong. Surprising that it didn't go up more than the small increase during COVID, that we stopped all external debt recovery processes, did it in-house only, so there was no legal action commencing through that time. We have commenced it again subsequent, so we expect that to be steady. And the cash expense cover ratio, again, basically tells you, you know, if you stop getting money tomorrow, how long could you still operate for? So, again, we're floating. Again, benchmark 3. We're quite healthy in that regard as well. So, yes, at this point in time, snapshot-wise, we are a healthy organisation. We will have our challenges putting budgets together over the next couple of years once we bed down our asset requirements.
Mr. Pravitt, a large, like, we've also got receivables... Outstanding water and sewer charges and things aren't under outstanding rates, are they? They're under receivables.
Well, user charges is where the water user charges are, as opposed to rates and annual charges. So what page is that?
Well, I'm just receivables was under this.
That would include your water and sewer.
Receivables of $8 million.
In total, yes.
In total. Now, some of that would be what's outstanding.
General charges, rates, water,
rates,
sewer.
Everything.
Yeah, just our normal trading type.
Yeah, so we have outstanding rates and annual charges.
That's your income.
Yeah.
So rates and annual charges is your 31, then your user charges, which would be your water in there. Yep.
So, I mean, the rates and annual charges are $2.7 million, but your total receivables are $8.05. It's on page 8 of 92 on the top of the finance statement. It'll be a breakdown of...
Yeah, page 38. So, yeah, 8.2 receivables. 2.5, 2.6 in rates. 290,000 in interest. User charges, which is primarily the water usage charges. It's 1.5 or thereabouts. The other big one is income accruals of $3 million. So that's, in essence, grant money primarily.
Oh, outstanding grant money. Yep. That's why it's so high.
Yep.
So is there a significant jump in that from last year to this year? Overall, our outstanding rates and charges are pretty consistent.
Yeah, so is it, when you include water fees and that in, there's about $4 million in.
Any other queries or comments? Councillor Pearce?
My question's actually for the Acting General Manager. Just given that we've got you here and you're a fresh pair of eyes, don't know if you've had the chance to go through our financial statements, but are there any observations from you, Mr. Rayner, in terms of, you know, fresh pair of eyes, you know, what are the positive, negative things? What should we, you know, are there trends that we should be particularly concerned about as a council and seeking to do better on?
Just my general comments. Your level of debt has been explained and stated is very, very high.
Yeah.
Particularly when so much of it is in the general fund and not in your water and sewer accounts. My figure was a bit different to Councillor Smith. I thought it was only about 7.1. But regardless, it's very, very high in the general fund and you've got a lot of legacy issues. So that's got to be a concern into the future. I thought your operating performance ratio was a bit ordinary because it basically means you're running deficits. So you're not living within your means in really, and the finance manager might correct me there, but that's my interpretation of it. The organisation is very reliant on grants, and it's been stated around the table, and all rural councils are in the same boat. You get more and more grants after floods and droughts and bushfires, and all it's doing, the way the accounts have worked, is lifting your depreciation. You provide new assets, then you have to depreciate them down the track. So it'll get to a point where you won't be able to afford to, and I'm not just talking about this council, but generally councils won't be able to afford to take new grants the way the accounts are prepared and required to be prepared. What else? The infrastructure ratios weren't too bad. The asset maintenance ratio is below where it should be, but I'm not sure how that means much in these times where you got over a flood early in the year, you've restored roads, you've got another exercise to go, so that one could be a bit academic. What else did I think? The cost to bring assets back to an agreed service level is about $7 million. That's fairly high as well, and that's probably not achievable in a very short term. It would have to be a long term. And in looking at future budgets, if you're going back to look at service levels and doing service reviews, the other thing you need to do is look at how you deliver the service. There's no point in just doing a review unless you look at how it's being delivered. And sometimes that requires consultation with the community. So when you do service level reviews, it can be very controversial, particularly if you say we're only going to reseal this road every 5 years, and the people who live on that road say, well, no, it should be resealed every 4 years. So they're difficult conversations. So none of that is easy if you do it properly. But generally, yeah, look, the financial ratios overall are quite sound. You've got about 7 or 8 months capital if you don't receive any more income. Cash if you don't receive any more income. But I just don't think this council is any different to others. You've got massive financial challenges in the years ahead. And if the grants stop, it's going to have a major impact on what you can do in maintaining roads and providing other facilities. But the legacy issues are the ones that I'd be concerned about too. You know, the swimming centre, the gateway, and there's probably a whole lot of others that I don't know about, but they just come to mind as being the real challenges for the council. And getting the right people in the organisation, excuse me, is also going to be a challenge. particularly when you've got these big contractors that are offering more money, and they will take poach your staff, and it's going to be very hard to attract and retain when you're in that sort of market. But they're my general observations after 3.5 days.
What did you do last week?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Andrew, the Red Fleet assets. What's the auditor's view there?
Not included.
Yep.
The audit office are qualifying audits for not including those. So, well, I'm sure we'll be having those discussions once the audit office receives our file next week.
Else? So, yes, Councillor
Pearce. And last one. Given that the deadline for our annual report is also at the end of November, how are we tracking in terms of the annual report? When will that be coming to Council?
Next Council meeting, I think Victoria's aiming to. So, obviously, the financials will be based on the draft, and we'll make note of that in the annual report if the statements aren't complete at that time. But I think currently the aim is to get it to Council this month.
Well, it has to be, doesn't it?
And they won't be complete. What's the stumbling block there if the auditors want to make some further corrections? What would be the stumbling block for these to be just in draft?
For the annual report?
Yeah.
No, there won't be.
No.
There won't be. As long as we, if we make sure we document the fact that the statements are in draft and may change, and then once they, if they do change, we just reattach the new ones.
Andrew, that will only change because
audit office has. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So at this point in time, Forsyth are finalising the audit today/tomorrow.
Yep.
They haven't indicated over the last week there'll be any further changes. But again, generally we don't see changes. A lot of material changes anyway come through from the audit office. Most of the questions is just clarification on issues. So.
So, councillors, we've got a recommendation there to refer the draft statements for audit. That the annual report's been prepared in accordance with 4132C, that we delegate authority to Mayor, Deputy Mayor, General Manager and Responsible Accounting Officer to sign that statement of councillors and management, and that the auditor's report and financial statements be presented at a meeting of council, which we have tagged as November. Would someone like to move that? Motion. Councillor Smith, seconded Councillor Harton. All in favour? Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Probert.
Thank you.
And I think
one interesting tidbit, and I was trying to find it, well, the estimated cost of bringing assets to a satisfactory standard is, the $7.18 million, 6.86 of it's on roads. That's where the work's just not getting done.
Right.
And it's a critical thing to the biggest economy in the show.
No doubt we'll get some solutions at 3 o'clock. Okay, we might close that meeting closed. Thank you, everyone. Got a bit of a break, 20 minutes.